Say amen. Praise God. Or if you said it like they say it back at home, amen. I got any country folk in the house? I think that's one of the reasons that East Tennessee folks and, excuse me, West Virginia people get along so good, is it's just like being at home. So praise God. I am from East Tennessee, and it doesn't take long hearing me speak to know that I live somewhere south of the Mason-Dixon line. And it's evident that I'm very country and from the south because of all the country that comes out of my mouth. But so maybe Trish and some of the others, they identify with me because of that. But I don't think so. It's the language of the Spirit. And you guys are so blessed to be able to experience what you experience here in this place. I've been preaching now for 21 years. I'm 42. I turned 42 yesterday. And I know I don't look it right, but I did. I turned 42 yesterday, and I was hoping that the right people or the wrong people, depending on how you want to look at it, didn't find that out and get me up here and sing happy birthday and all that kind of stuff. Because really, by nature, I'm kind of shy. And it's okay now. I feel the anointing coming on me.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Amen. And many more. Many more. In my 42 years, I've been preaching 21 of those, and so I've been doing this a while now, and in all my years of traveling and preaching, I've been in a lot of different kind of meetings and youth camps, youth meetings, but this one right here is so unique, and what you have here is absolutely second to none. And the family who stewards the move of God on this hill, the reason it is what it is because of the people that steward the move of God on this hill. Their character, their integrity, who they are in Christ, not just what they do for the kingdom, but who they are makes this place what it is. And you guys are blessed to know them. Let this family know, the Howells family and everybody else involved, how much you appreciate them. Amen. Amen, amen. I was thinking the first night I came in Tuesday, I came up on Tuesday night, I was thinking about a scripture in Hebrews 11:9, where the Bible said, by faith Abraham sojourned in the land of promise, and he dwelt in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and the Bible says this, heirs with him of the same promise. Now, what that says to me is that, you know, Isaac and Jacob was his son and his grandson, Abraham's son and his grandson. What that says to me, Hebrews 11 is about faith. The whole chapter is about faith, is that faith is designed to be passed down generationally. That's the way it's supposed to work. And so Mama Howells and Papa Jack Howells, years ago when they got born again, they may not have been able to see the end result of what God was going to do on this hill, or even be able to see this day right here. But what happened is that they allowed their faith to be passed down to their seed and their seed seed. And that's exactly the way this is supposed to work. And all of this came as a result of a man humbling himself before God and saying, if you will save me, I will serve you. And that's why you're here today. That's why you're experiencing on this hill. What you're getting to experience in today is because a man was obedient to the call of God on his life and passed down what he got to his seed. And in return to his seed, he's called the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's a generational God. And so God has did in them so what God could do in you, where in return you can help promote that in somebody else. So one more time, you are blessed to hear what you hear and to experience what you experience. And the world is a different place because of what has transpired on this hill. My life, my destiny was changed because of what has went on in this local church and the meetings here. So you guys are blessed to be a part of it. Amen? Amen. Praise God. There's a lot of things that, you know, I could preach on, and you get in an environment like this, and the atmosphere is so stirred, it's so rich, it's not hard to find something to say. But this morning, Pastor Lisa asked me this morning if I would talk about the Holy Spirit. And so I have a particular assignment, and I want to be obedient to that assignment because, you know, one of the things we don't want to do is take for granted that everybody in the room is at the same place in God or knows the same thing as the person you're sitting beside. And oftentimes we throw around terminology in the church. We use terminology in the church that we may not have an understanding of. And so she wanted me to talk about just basically Holy Spirit 101 this morning, just the basics of the Holy Spirit, some of the mechanics of how that works in our life, the person of the Holy Spirit. What if I was to tell you that you could have a friend that would never turn his back on you? He's with you 365 days a year, 24/7, 365. He is always with you there to encourage you, to help you, to guide you, to lead you. How many of you want a friend like that? Amen. You know, and I know that you guys have experiences in high school, but sometimes we can have some fickle friends in school. As long as everything's just right, they're there with us. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But the moment things aren't right, all of a sudden they're not there. And that is true with people. It's true with people that we encounter in life. It's true with people that we walk with in life. I've walked with people for years, and then all of a sudden they'd be gone from my life. And that can happen. But one thing that you can count on with the Holy Spirit is that He's always going to be there with you. He's always going to be there with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll go with you all the way into the ends of the earth. And so understanding the role and the person of the Holy Spirit in our life as a believer is a very powerful truth that we need to have a working knowledge of as a believer. Jesus said this in John 6:63. We'll take a text here in a moment. I just want to speak to you out of my heart. By nature, I'm more so of a proclaimer than I am an explainer. In other words, I'd rather preach than I would teach. But I feel the teacher on me a little bit this morning. I just want to talk to you out of my heart. But Jesus said this in John 6:63. He said, the flesh profits nothing, but the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And you know, the flesh, again, it profits nothing, but the word of God in our life, Jesus said, when I speak to you, my words, they're spirit. Everybody say spirit. And they're life. Their life, spirit and life. So here's how we know that we're hearing from Jesus. Here's how we know that the Holy Spirit has inspired what is being said. Number one, is it producing spirit? And number two, is it producing life? See, if what we're hearing is not producing spirit and life, that's a pretty good chance that's not the words of Jesus. And one of the roles of the Holy Spirit in our life is to teach us about Jesus. He will never speak of himself, the Bible says, but he will always put the attention upon Jesus. So we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and the role of the Holy Spirit in our life just for a little bit. If you would give me my first scripture, and I want to read Acts 1 verse 8, and then with the help of the Holy Spirit, we'll work our way back to this. But Acts 1 verse 8, and I know that we're here till about 12. Again, Pastor Lisa asked me to teach on this, and then tonight Brother Jeremy's going to preach, and then we're going to activate some things that we taught. Amen? We're going to start, and last night Pastor Josh did a great job, and I know that there was a great move of the Spirit in here. And that's another thing, too. Y'all are so blessed because the speakers that come in here, and I'm not saying this because of me, and you can take me out of this equation, but the speakers that come in, you get the best of the best of the best in here. Let me try that again. You get the best of the best of the best of the best that come in here to teach and to preach the Word of God. And you never have to worry about leaving this hill feeling condemned, guilty, lesser than. None of those type things. God has chosen to give you the best. And you've heard it up to this point. I believe you'll hear it again this morning. Amen? But Acts 1:8, let's read this, and then with the help of the Holy Ghost, we'll work our way back around to it. But you shall receive power. Everybody say power. How many of you in the room want power? Let's have a, I come from the Baptist church growing up, and in the Baptist church, you got to have a majority. So let me try it again. How many of you want to receive power? Put your hand up and wave it. Now, we're going to put this on the back burner, but let me go ahead and tell you that this word, there's two primary Greek words that are used for power. The Old Testament, see, here's more terminology we throw around. The Old Testament primarily was written in the Hebrew language, and the New Testament primarily was written in the Greek language. And so when you go back and you study those words, it doesn't always change the meaning of them, but it can build upon the meaning of them. So there's two primary words for power that are primarily used. You have the Greek word exousia, and it's used in John 1:12, where the Bible says, as many as received him, talking about Jesus, they shall receive power. That word there, exousia, it means the right and the privilege and the authority. So as many as received Jesus, they get the right, the privilege, and the authority to be called a son of God. But this word here is different. This word is unique. This word is awesome. And when it uses this word power here, you'll receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. This is the Greek word dunamis. Now, you know what English word we get from that? Somebody said it right. Dynamite. See, a lot of our language comes from the Greek and the Latin. That's why it's important to study. It's why it's important to enlighten your mind. But this word here is dunamis. It's where we get the word dynamite from, which is explosive, miracle-working power. Now, when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we have the potential in our lives to live in explosive, miracle-working power. That's pretty good news right there. You and I can live with that kind of power as a result of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. But you shall receive power after that. The Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses. Everybody say witnesses. You'll be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and into the uttermost parts of the earth. Give me John 14. We'll work our way back to that. John chapter number 14. In John chapter number 14, the context of the scripture is that Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's been walking with them for somewhere around 3 years. He's been teaching them not just in parables or by words, but also by the way he carries himself. His character, his nature has taught them so much. And so he tells them in John 14, verse 1, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And the reason he's telling them that is because he's getting ready to announce to them that in bodily form, he's getting ready to leave them. But he tells them right here that he's not going to leave them comfortless. In other words, even though in bodily form he's going to go, he's going to come back to them in another form. So when we talk about the person of the Holy Spirit, in some regards it is a separate entity, but in other regards it's God the Father and God the Son. In other words, let me say it to you this way. You know, a lot of people will say things like, you know, I just wish I lived in the days of Jesus where I could have walked with him and talked with him. And really, that's a very uneducated statement, because the reality of it is, through the person of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us, we still can walk with him and talk with him. See, if Jesus was still here in bodily form, we would have to go to some kind of geographical location to be with him. And that's why there's a lot of foolish teaching in the body of Christ that someday there's going to be a temple built in the Middle East, and Jesus is going to come and sit on a throne in that temple. And you know, my question of that is, are we all going to have to stand in line to see him? How many of us can afford plane tickets or whatever to get over? That's crazy, because the reality of it is, God the Father and Jesus is right here with us right now in this room through the power and the person of the Holy Spirit. So how can one person be three different things? And the idea of the Trinity, what's called the Trinity, God, the Son, the Holy Spirit, it can be a little bit complex and confusing, but here's one way you can think of it. How many of you in the room have grandparents? Put your hands up and wave it at me. All right, most of us in the room are blessed and fortunate to still have grandparents. I do too. My grandfather passed on my mom's side in December. And it was a huge blow to my family because he was such a godly prince of a man. And so he passed, and then my dad's dad passed several years ago, but I was very fortunate. Again, I'm 42. I was very fortunate to have him in my life, the majority of my life up to this point. But my grandfather, to me, he was my grandfather. But he was my mother's dad, which made him obviously her father. But he was also the son of a man named Kelly Slover. So he was a grandfather, he was a father, but he was also a son. The same person in three different roles. That's exactly the way that the Holy Spirit can be viewed to us. It's God the Father, God the Son, but not in physical form, but in spirit form, so that he can be with us at all times in any places we go. The good news about the day we live in is that we don't have to travel somewhere else to be with God or to be with Jesus. We can be with God. We can be with Jesus right here at your home, at your school. It doesn't matter. He's with you on the inside of you at all times. Because what happens when you get born again, the person of the Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of you. Now, there's a separate experience, and it was talked about some last night and probably mentioned in other services too, called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We'll deal with that here in a moment. But how many of you in the room, let's do it this way. How many of you in the room have experienced what is called in the church world the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Put your hand up, wave it at me. Put your hand up real high. I want to see you in this room. So a pretty good majority of you have experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about that more so here in a moment. But again, when we get born again, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, through the Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of the believer. Romans 8 and 9 says this, that if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. That's how we know, one of the ways we know that we're born again is because the person of the Holy Spirit comes to dwell on the inside of us. Now, let me show you just a few things. If you would put the scripture back up, we read it here. Let me show you a couple things that the Holy Spirit will do for you. John 14, 22 says, "And Judas saith unto him, Not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself unto us and not unto the world?" They're asking Jesus this question. "And Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him and make our abode with him." So Jesus is saying that the Father and the Son, through the Holy Spirit, will come and take up residence on the inside of you. Now watch this. "He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, yet present with you." Verse 26. "But the Comforter," everybody say the Comforter. "But the Comforter," I have New King James here, it says the Helper, which is okay. "The Comforter," the Helper, "which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name." Now watch this, he's going to teach you, everybody say teach you. "And he's going to bring all things to your remembrance." Everybody say a reminder. So right here in this one passage is three things that the Holy Spirit will do for us. Number one, he's a comforter to us. Or New King James says a helper. The Greek word means a consoler. The Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, one of his roles in your life, one of his roles in my life is to bring us supernatural comfort. Brothers and sisters, by being born again, you don't have to go to some kind of outside source to find comfort. You can learn to find comfort through the person of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. Number two, not only is he a comforter, but he's a teacher. Now, men can teach us, women can teach us, but the way the Holy Spirit teaches us is by giving us what's called in the church world revelation. Everybody say revelation. Now, a man or a woman can teach the Word of God like I'm doing this morning. I'm purposely being very, very simple in this room, or trying to. being very simple in this room. And I can stand up here and I can teach and I can preach the Word of God. Or you can read the Word of God and you can learn the Word of God on your own. But where the Word really becomes alive and where it really becomes real to you and it's not boring to you is when you allow the person of the Holy Spirit to give you what's called, again, revelation. What the word revelation means is to reveal something, primarily to take the cover off. It means to turn the light on. And I'm sure a lot of you in the room have experienced this, and let me just ask it in the form of a question. How many of you in the room have experienced reading a particular verse in the Bible? You've read it, say, 5 times, 10 times. Maybe you've even memorized this verse, and all of a sudden, one day somebody is up teaching or preaching, or you're reading it yourself, and you see it in a different light. How many of you have experienced that? That's what's called revelation. All of a sudden, the light got turned on as to what that really means. That's one of the things that the Holy Spirit will do for you. Now, the reason that revelation, I feel the spirit of the preacher coming on me this morning. I'll calm down just a little. The reason that revelation is so important, I'm just going to flow the way I need to flow. Is that all right? The reason that revelation is so important is because revelation brings faith. And what faith does is that faith puts you in a position to receive what God has already done for you in Christ. See, one of the things that has been taught on this hill in conferences and in youth camps both is what's called the finished work of the cross. And there's so much could be said about that, but in a nutshell, what it means by it being finished is that on that cross, through the death of Jesus and ultimately his burial, and it was all solidified by his resurrection, everything that you have need of to live victorious in this life and to get you to the life to come has already been provided for you in Christ. But see, faith is what brings us into a place to receive what God done for us in Christ. It can be finished all day long, but until you believe it, you're not going to receive it. Until you believe it, it's not going to work in your life. Let me say it to you this way. Hebrews 11:6 says this, that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Everybody say, please God. It says, but he that cometh unto God must first believe that he is, and he's a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. Now, again, without faith, it's impossible to please God. I used to read that scripture, and I used to feel a little bit condemned on days where I felt like that my faith levels were low. But what I discovered about that particular scripture is that the word please there in the Greek actually means to agree. So think about what that's saying. Without faith, it's impossible to get in agreement with God. Brothers and sisters, without faith, you can't agree with what Jesus finished concerning healing, deliverance, salvation, or anything else. And what brings faith is the Holy Spirit turning the light on to the Word of God. It may have been him turning the light on to Jesus being your Savior and that becoming real to you. Where at one time you was in darkness about that, but all of a sudden you heard a word from God that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And the Holy Spirit sheds light on that and it becomes real to you and you're no longer in darkness in that. And faith comes for you to receive it. So the Holy Spirit, he's our helper. He's our comforter. But he's also our teacher as well. But then the Bible said this. Jesus tells his disciples that he would bring all things to their remembrance. Now, again, you got to keep in mind that they've been walking with him for somewhere around three years at this point. Maybe a little more, maybe a little less. Probably a little more than 3 years right here. And he's taught them a lot of things. Now, this is a day where they don't have iPhones. They don't have iPads. They're not even walking around with pencil and paper. So how in the world are they going to remember what Jesus has taught them and instilled in them for 3 years? Jesus said, this right here is how you're going to remember it. The Holy Spirit is going to bring what I have taught you to remembrance. And one of the most incredible things that the Holy Spirit will do for us is not only teach or comfort us and help us and teach us, but he has the ability to bring to our remembrance in the times we need it the Word of God that we've been taught. Now, there's a lot of scriptures that you can memorize, and that's good. It's very, very good to give your mind to the Word of God. And especially in my earlier days of walking with God, when I really started walking with God when I was 19, I made myself from that point forward to memorize a lot of the Word of God. And I can sit here and I can rattle off chapter and verses because I made myself memorize the Word. But there has been times in my life where I've been in particular situations and circumstances that a circumstance has arose in my life that I may not have remembered a verse for, but the power of the Holy Spirit was there to bring what was taught to me to remembrance to help carry me through that difficult place in my life. How many of you have experienced that? That's the power of the Holy Spirit at work within your life. And so, brothers and sisters, we need the movement and the power of the Holy Ghost in our life. Again, the flesh profits nothing. Our church services, if they're not charged with the power of the Holy Spirit, it just becomes dead religious, traditional things that we are involved in, where at the end of the day, it produces no life. But when you get a church who honors and reverence the person and the power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to start see things shaking. You're going to see some things moving. You're going to see lives beginning to be changed, because without the movement of the Holy Spirit, there is no change. We can get as deep as we want to get. We can get as revelatory as we want to get, and I encourage all those things. We need to get deep. We need to get revelatory, but at the end of the day, we need the power and the person of the Holy Spirit moving at work within our life to produce real change. So He's a helper, He's a comforter, He's a teacher, and He will bring all things to our remembrance. Look at John 16. We'll get a couple things there. We're doing all right. Look at your neighbor and say, you awake? John 16, here's you a couple more. Verse 12 says, I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. Now notice, He's going to guide us into all truth. For He will not speak of Himself. I mentioned that earlier. He will not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. So here's you two more things that the Holy Spirit will do for you. Here's you two more reasons why that the person of the Holy Spirit, why it's so important to have the person of the Holy Spirit at work within your life and to understand how He's working within your life. One more verse says, He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine and shall show it unto you. Is there one more? All things that the Father hath are Mine. Man, I love this right here. Therefore said I that He shall take of Mine and shall show it to you. Notice what Jesus is saying right there. Everything that the Father has, it's Mine. And everything that's Mine, through the Holy Spirit, I'm going to give it to you. My good Lord Jesus, that's good news right there. Everything God has, Jesus says, it's Mine. And all of that stuff, I'm going to give it to you. But here's two more things I want to key in on for time's sake, is that He will guide you into all manner of truth. Now, if I asked this question, I know there would be a resounding no in the room. If I ask you how many people want to live and be guided into a lie, everybody would say no, right? We all want to be guided into the truth. Amen? It's the person of the Holy Spirit that does that. Even when you get people in your life saying things to you that isn't the truth, when you're in connection with the person of the Holy Spirit, you'll have this check down on the inside of you where you know that is not right. Because the Holy Spirit is not going to lead you into a lie. He's not going to lead you into error. He will always lead you into the truth. So He's a comforter. Everybody say He's a comforter. He's a teacher. Everybody say He's a teacher. What was the third one we said? He's a reminder. Who said that? There you go. He's a reminder. He's going to guide you into the truth. And then right here's one more. He's going to show you things to come. Now you think about the power. Now here we go. Supernatural, miracle working power at work within your life. And here's how, or here's one of the ways rather that the Holy Spirit can supernaturally work within our life. I think Pastor Josh quoted last night, Isaiah 46:10 says that God declares the end from the beginning. When you have the person of the Holy Spirit at work within your life, life never has to catch you off guard because the Holy Spirit can show you what's to come. Now, listen to me. I'm not saying to you that He's going to give you all of the details of your tomorrow. But one of the ways that He shows us what's to come is that He will speak to us something in this moment to obey. And as we walk in that moment, what we are to obey, what is to come, comes to us. Now, let me tell you what I mean by that. And I'll show you this through the scripture, and I'll show you this through my life. Well, first of all, through the life, and I've said this to a lot of young people over the years, through the life of David, you know, especially get around young people, we like to talk about King David. Because at a young age, he was anointed king over Israel. Can you imagine being 15, 16, some of y'all's age, being anointed a king over an entire kingdom? What an intimidating task that would be. Now, when David, the day he was anointed to be king over Israel, he was not out looking to be king that day. You know what David was doing? He was just keeping sheep. And what keeping sheep was to David was being obedient to do what his dad said to do. And so if you're obedient to do today what your daddy says to do today, you don't have to go out and hunt your tomorrow. It will come and find you. There was a prophet who came and found him. And so, see, as we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and the person of the Holy Spirit, He shows us, that, and sometimes He will give you a snapshot of what tomorrow or next week or 5 years from now, the dreams, the aspirations, the visions that you have that are from God come from the Holy Spirit. It comes from the person of the Holy Spirit. But by showing us things to come, it's not always giving us all of the details of the future, because the reality of it is, if God give us all of the details of all of our dreams, all of our visions, our destinies, our future, the truth is it would probably scare a lot of us, and we would not want to walk that way, or somehow we would get our works involved and we would mess it all up. And so He reveals to us as on a need-to-know basis, oftentimes a little bit at a time. So let me show you how this worked in my life. When I was 27 years old, I came to this church for the first time. Again, I'm 42. So when I was 27, I came here for the first time. And I came with a guy at that time. He was my pastor. And he said, "Do you want to go to a conference with me to Berkeley Springs, West Virginia?" And of course, I knew of Berkeley Springs because of Brother Lynn. Lynn had been to our church many times and just set our church on fire. And I said, "Shoot, yeah, I want to go. Yeah, I'd like to go." And so I didn't come up here with any kind of intention on preaching. As a matter of fact, at 27, I'd never even preached out of the state of Tennessee. Never, not one time. I preached a bunch. I preached revivals at home. I filled the pulpit for a lot of pastors. I'd be a guest speaker. But I never even preached. I want you to hear this. This is how the Holy Spirit unlocked a huge part of the destiny of God on my life and ultimately catapulted me into what I'm doing today. And so I said, "Yeah, I'd like to go." And so when I came to this meeting, Lynn had asked Justin to preach on a Friday morning. This did during the general conference. And Justin was my pastor. And so Justin says to Lynn, he says, "Well, why don't you let Danny Ray preach?" And Lynn had never heard me preach. Lynn knew me just because of coming to the church, and, you know, we did some things together. But he'd never heard me preach, so he was probably a little bit nervous about giving me a shot to preach, because in conference, in this room, we got a room full of teenagers. In conference, you got a room full of preachers. And so here I am. I'm young. I'm 27. He's never heard me preach. And so he's probably a little bit hesitant about giving me the mic. Never hear him. And rightly so. And so Justice says, why don't you, and I guess Lynn told him something along the lines, "You know, I'll pray about it. I'll see." So we came in on a Thursday night, and a man by the name of Bishop David Huskins got up and preached, and he preached the paint off the walls that night. And it was such an incredible meeting. And so we all go down to the dining hall to eat afterwards. And Lynn comes up to me. He said, what would you do if I put you up to preach on Saturday morning? And I said, well, I guess he thought I was just kind of a scared kid. And I said, well, I'll just get up and preach and do the best I can do. And he said, well, I'm thinking about putting you up. And I said, okay. And I want you to watch how the Holy Spirit works. So on Friday morning, the next morning, I got up. And the moment I got up, I could feel on the inside, I could feel by the Spirit of God I was supposed to preach that morning. I knew it. I knew I was supposed to preach that morning. Because, see, when the Holy Spirit is operating on the inside of us, it's not just necessarily a thought, it's a knowing that you have on the inside of you. That's one of the ways that you know that the Holy Spirit is dealing with you. It's just, it's a knowing on the inside of you that you experience. And I knew that morning I was supposed to preach. Now, I wouldn't dare say that to Lynn. I wouldn't dare say that to anybody. I was like Mary. I just pondered those things in my heart. So on Friday morning, we're in here doing worship, packed house. They're up on the platform doing praise and worship. Lynn's sitting right up here with a guitar. And I could tell on that stage he was getting a little shifty during the music. I could just see him kind of shifting around. And the thought entered my mind, I thought, God is dealing with him about something. And I was sitting right here where this brother is sitting right here. I was sitting right here in this place. And Lynn, he's up there shifting around on the platform. And so after the music, I see him get off the platform. Justin was sitting somewhere right in there. He comes around and he says something to Justin, and I thought, it is on right here, right now. It's on. And so here he come. He come around to me, and he said, man, I really feel like that you're supposed to preach this morning. And I said, Lynn, I do too. And then I'll never forget Lynn saying this. I've said this up here before. I've told this before. But Lynn said, now, don't you die on me, man. Don't you die on me. And I said, I won't. So anyways, I got up and preached, and the rest is his story. It's history. Because in that moment, in that room, there were tons of preachers in that room that once God exposed my gift to them, they said, hey, will you come preach at my church? Sure, I come preach at your church. So Missouri and Indiana, I went here. And so there'd be other preachers there. Hey, will you come preach at my? Yeah, I'd love to come preach at your church. So somewhere around, you know, however many years later, 15 years later, something like that, I got all of these different relationships and all of these different venues to preach in. Because number one, I obeyed the Holy Spirit by coming to West Virginia. Number two, I didn't cow down when I knew on the inside of me that the Holy Ghost gave me a word. But number three, Lynn being led by the Spirit picked up on God's time and what he wanted to do in the moment, and it absolutely changed my destiny. Brothers and sisters, we need to recognize the movement and the person of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the key to us walking in the destiny of God on our life. He is the key to opening up that motel in New Zealand or whatever it was that had a hobbit thing. He's the key to leading you to the right people at the right place at the right time to be an NFL football player. It don't matter what it is, the Holy Spirit can show you things to come. And the way it works is that you obey today what he says to do, and it guides you into your tomorrow, or your tomorrow will come and find you. If I got a church in here, say amen. Amen. That's how it works. That's the power of the Holy Spirit working within our life. Now, give me this scripture right here, Acts chapter number 19. We're still decent on time. I talked to you just a second ago about what's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I know last night that there was a couple people that received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, again, when you get born again, the Holy Spirit moves on the inside of you. So that means everything God is, everything God has said, and everything God can do already lives on the inside of you as a believer. But one of the things that the baptism of the Holy Spirit does for us is unlock that in our life to where it begins to flow out of our life in a brand new capacity. I'm sure if you've been around the church any length of time at all, you've heard of what's called in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit. If you've heard of the fruit of the Spirit, put your hand up and wave it at me. How many of you in the room have heard of what's called the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12? Put your hand up and wave it at me. Now notice it's called the fruits of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit. So who do they belong to? They belong to the Spirit. They all belong to the Spirit. So the way that they flow out of our life is by us giving way to the person of the Holy Spirit in our life. And when we're baptized in the Holy Ghost, it unlocks these fruits and these gifts to flow out on brand new levels in our life. Now, watch this right here. In Acts chapter number 19, verse 1, and this is a very familiar passage of Scripture that is used to teach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Verse 1 says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast of Ephesus and finding certain disciples, said, and have you, next verse, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Everybody say, since you believed. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we've not so much even heard whether there be a Holy Ghost. There may have been people who's came to this youth camp this week and you've never heard much about the person of the Holy Spirit. But that's why it's good to have somebody, a loving mama like Pastor Lisa in your life that knows the importance of understanding the power and the person and the role of the Holy Spirit in your life and in all of our lives. And that's why she wanted you to hear about the person of the Holy Spirit. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we've not so much heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And for a lot of you in the room, that's a foreign thought. But I promise you, there's churches all over this country that haven't even heard what you've heard, a quarter of what you've heard just this morning on the person of the Holy Spirit. And he said unto them, what were you baptized? And they said, John's baptism. Next verse. That's okay. And then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, and that is on Christ Jesus. Two more verses. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now watch what happens. Verse 6, and when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues, and they prophesied. And I'm going to talk to you about speaking in tongues right here just for a moment, and one of the purposes of it, and the importance of it. But there's a couple things I want to point out first. Number one, they were asked this question, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Now again, by being born again, the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. But that doesn't mean that you've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because again, what the baptism of the Holy Ghost is, it unlocks the power of the Holy Ghost in your life. It unlocks these fruits and it unlocks these gifts right here, like speaking in tongues and like prophesying. And the Apostle Paul laid his hands, if I can say it this way, on these Baptist boys right here. And the next thing you know, they're shaking in the Holy Ghost. They're talking in tongues. And they are prophesying. They experience something supernatural for the first time in their life. And again, the power of the Holy Spirit is as such that He wants to work supernaturally through our lives. And one of the ways that He does this is through prophecy or speaking in tongues. Now, the reason I don't really want to deal with prophecy for time's sake, but I want to deal with speaking in tongues is because of how important. Now, I want everybody to listen to me right here because this is very important for you as a believer. Having the ability to be able to yield to the Holy Spirit and pray in other tongues is an absolute lifesaver in your life. It's a lifesaver. And I'm going to tell you why that is. Romans 8:26 says this, that we don't know what to pray for as we all. But the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And somebody would say, well, what is the purpose of praying in a language I don't understand? Here's why. Paul teaches us in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14 on what's called the gifts of the Spirit. And he talks a lot more. He interprets speaking in tongues in the sense of the purpose of it in our life in chapter 14. Chapter 12 talks more so about the gifts. 14 explains a little bit about the gifts, but he makes this statement, and here's what it made sense to me, or how it made sense to me. He makes this statement in 1 Corinthians 14:14. He said, when I pray in an unknown tongue, my understanding is unfruitful, but my spirit is edified. Now, let's break that down just a little bit. Here's why it's important to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and here's why it's important to have the gift of other tongues. Now, there is the gift of other tongues in the sense that if you was to come across a Chinese-speaking person, Japanese, Swahili, whatever it may be, God could supernaturally give you an unction to speak in a language they could understand. That's one aspect of it. But for our everyday lives, the gift of praying in tongues, the reason it's so important, again, Paul said this, that my spirit is edified even though my understanding is unfruitful. Everybody say edified. Now, who knows what edified means? Now, none of the adults. I don't want the adults answering. The teenagers in here, our youth group, who in this room knows what the word edified means? Put your hand up if you know. It's okay if you don't. What's it mean? That's exactly right. It means to build up. So think about what Paul's saying right here. Paul said that when you pray in other tongues, your spirit man is being built up. Now, I feel this enlarging on the inside of me as I talk about it. Your spirit is being built up even though your understanding's unfruitful. What's he saying? On the inside, it's building your spirit man up even though your mind don't get it. That's why it's so important. Because see, brothers and sisters, what happens and what's a hindrance to us oftentimes when we go into prayer is that, you know, we're down or whatever, you know, however you pray, and there's all different ways and forms of prayer. Prayer is not just locked away in a closet somewhere. There is times, and there's not enough emphasis on the day we live in, especially in light of grace, but it's very important that you spend time alone with God. That means help me out just a little bit. It's very important that you slip away at times and you learn how to spend time with God. But prayer, you know, Jesus said this. He said, I would that men would pray everywhere in Luke 18 and faint not. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 that we are to pray without ceasing. Now, you guys got to go to school. I got to go to work. We got stuff we got to do. I can't be locked up in a prayer closet all day. So praying without ceasing must mean more than being locked away in a prayer. I've learned how to pray on the job. Come on, I've learned how to pray standing on the front of a bass boat fishing. I've learned how to pray sitting up in a tree stand somewhere. I've learned how to pray without ceasing. But what hinders us oftentimes in prayer is what's going on in our minds, right? So we're concentrating and we're trying to pray and there's a particular thing or we may feel heavy about something and our minds are just throwing all kinds of darts at us. Right? Y'all ever experienced that? Where you're trying to communicate with God, but what's going on in your mind is getting in the way. That's why having the baptism of the Holy Ghost is so important, because it unlocks this gift of praying in tongues where you can just pray from your spirit and your spirit's being built up even though your mind isn't getting it. Somebody says, well, you know, I don't see any sense for that because my mind, I don't understand it. That's the purpose of it. It's bypassing your mind, coming straight from your spirit, going to God, and there's nothing blocking it there. There's nothing blocking it there. There may be times in your life that you feel heavy about something, and you know you need to talk to God, but you don't know exactly what you need to say. That's why, again, you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you can learn how to pray on the spot from your spirit man, and your mind is not getting in the way of what needs to go on in between your spirit and God. That's why when people get filled with the Holy Ghost, now watch me here, that's why when people get filled with the Holy Ghost, one of the first things that God wants to do is get hold of your tongue. Now, we're going to venture off. Just give me a few more minutes here. We're going to venture off this, but I'm going to tell you why that's so important. Here's why. Because your tongue is one of the most powerful instruments of your body. Here's why that is. You were created in the image and the likeness of God. We were created in the image and the likeness of God, right? He's a speaking being. So Hebrews 11:3 says, we understand by faith that the worlds were framed by the word of God. God's words frame the world we live in. We was created in His likeness and in His image. So we have inherent power in our mouth to frame the world that we live in by what we're saying. That's why God wants to get hold of our tongue. We have power in our mouth. There was some sweet little sister got up last night. Man, I felt the Holy Ghost when she was saying this about talking positive, or not just talking positive, but about speaking life and not be speaking death and doubt and negativity. Why is that so important? Because your words frame your world. There's even scientific proof now that people who talk about sickness all the time, guess what their experience is? It's sickness. You talk about depression and fear all the time, you're going to feel depressed and fearful. But when you learn to take God's word, speak it out of your mouth by the unction of the Holy Spirit, you can frame a world around you that God wants you to live in. And that's exactly what God did. Apparently, He wasn't satisfied with the world He had in Genesis 1, so He spoke another one into an existence. And one of the purposes of this camp is to show you who you are and the power you have because of who lives on the inside of you, so that you will frame the world around you that God created for you to live in. My little girl, she's 7 years old. Of course, she's the apple of my eye. And her name is Carter Jo. Of course, she's got to have two names because we're from the South, you know. So little Carter Jo just turned 7 on May the 11th, she turned 7. And she's just so full of life and energy. And her connection with God is just so powerful because of the innocence that's there. And innocence in the sense that, you know, she don't know the Bible, obviously, the way I know the Bible, the way Shannon knows the Bible. But she still, even at her age, she has this connection with God that's powerful. It's powerful. And so... We're very cautious as to what we say over our child and around our child. We have made it a priority to speak the word of God over her life. When I found out Shannon was pregnant, I spoke Isaiah 54:13 over her every day, that my children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of my children. And we've seen the benefit of that. Now I want to show you about the power of words right here. Show you about the power of words. Back this past summer, Carter Jo, of course, she would have been 6. Her and Shannon was at the beach, and I was back at home. And I'd had in my bass boat, I got a bass boat, and y'all wouldn't believe that, right? I got a bass boat, and I'd had the seats out of it. I had them out being reupholstered. And so a family member of mine, a great uncle, he had those seats for a long time. And so he calls me. Or texts me, rather, and tells me that I can come pick my seats up. They're done. And I just didn't have the extra money in that particular moment to go get those seats. At the same time, the Holy Ghost, just the way He orchestrates things for us in life, time and the right people, the right events, it's amazing what God will do if you will yield yourself to Him and yield yourself to the power and the person of the Holy Spirit. At the same time, there just so happens to be this fishing tournament going on in the area I live in. Now, because of the ministry and other things, I don't have time to practice to fish tournaments as much as I would like to. Because those country boys out there, if you don't practice, all you're going to do is donate when you go out and fish against them. That's all you're doing is donating. But I had it in me where I felt like I should fish it. So I called Shannon and I said, "Hey, Shannon, there's a fishing tournament going on around here." I said, "I'm thinking about fishing this tournament. What do you think?" Because in the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, let a matter be established. She said, "I don't know, I'll think about it." And apparently Carter Jo must have heard what was going on, because she makes this statement. She says, "If my daddy fishes that tournament, he'll win that money." Now, she spoke that out of her mouth. Now, that was innocent coming out of her heart. But see, when she said that out of her mouth, I felt faith arise on the inside of me. I thought, glory to God. So I showed up in my bass boat with the seats out, by the way. I had a piece of plywood laid out there, and the guy with me, I'm sure when we rolled up, they're thinking, what kind of rednecks people rolling up in here? But in the back of my mind, here's what I'm hearing. If my daddy fishes that tournament, he'll win that money. Now, I don't have to tell you how that ended, though. Daddy fished that tournament, and he won that money, and it was more than enough to pay for my boat seat. So God was, and you'll find this out throughout the course of your life, that God is on time, all the time, every single time in your life. But what brought faith for me was the words of a six-year-old little girl that I knew come up out of her spirit. See, when a word comes to you by somebody who has connection with the Holy Spirit, you'll feel faith begin to arise where you can receive what God has for you to receive. That's why words are so powerful. Inherently, our mouths are containers of power. James said it this way about our tongue. He said, he likened it to a helm on a ship or a bridle in a horse's mouth. Now, let me ask you this question. What does both of those things have in common? A bridle in a horse's mouth and a helm on a ship, rudder on a ship. What's that? They have the ability to steer. Do you hear what James is saying about your tongue? Your tongue has the ability to set the course of your life. And when you're filled with the Holy Spirit and He's got hold of your tongue, the course of your life can be a lot different than what it can be if you're just saying and speaking all kinds of foolishness. If I'm right about it, say amen. Now, let's unplug right here in Acts 1, verse 8. You'll receive power. Look at your neighbor and say, you're going to get power. You're going to get power when the Holy Ghost comes up on you. Now, here's one of the purposes of that. Not just so us individually can walk in supernatural miracle-working power. That's a benefit from it. And we can do that. But here's the purpose of it. You ready? We're almost done right here. We're going to go eat some groceries down there right here in a minute. It's to be a witness. He said, you're going to receive power to be a witness. And he said, you're going to be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, we could get real deep with this scripture and we could break it down and teach all kinds of different things. One of the ways that you could look at this is the word witness there comes from the Greek word martyria, where we get the English word martyr. Literally what that's saying, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit can come up on you to lay your life down for people. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He laid his life down for us. But the empowerment comes to be a witness. And notice first he said Jerusalem. You know what Jerusalem was to them? Jerusalem was the hometown. Let me say it this way to you. It's your high school. It can be your high school. The empowerment of the Holy Spirit can come up on you to empower you to minister to the kids in your school. Then he said this, Judea, that's the region they lived in. And then he said to Samaria, the Samaritans were the outcasts. They were the ones that nobody else wanted. And then he said to the uttermost parts of the earth, which is the nations. Now, the reason I would bring that out is because oftentimes in the church world, we get so focused on going to the nations, but the empowerment of the Holy Spirit comes up on us first so that we can witness to those people that are in our life every single day. How many of you want to affect your parents? Put your hand up. What about your siblings? What about the kids you go to? The way that you're going to affect anybody is through and by the power of the Holy Spirit being upon you, working out of you, and working in the people's lives that are around you. Again, the flesh profits nothing. You cannot affect your family. You cannot affect the people you go to school with through your own ability. You need the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to affect those that are around you. Now, the reason I say that in closing is because some of you, when you leave this hill, your life is so transformed and has been so, and I believe everybody leaves this hill changed. Everybody. There's not one person who has come to this meeting, at least as a result of a seed that has been sown, Pastor Lisa, that does not leave here changed in some shape, form, or fashion. But some of you really embrace it, and your lives have been really impacted, and you can't wait to get home and share it with somebody. And the way you effectively do that is by yielding to the person, the Holy Spirit, and allowing Him to work in your life and through your life. That's how you minister to the people, again, in your family, that you go to school with. In other words, God don't expect you to do that in your own ability. You don't have to rely on your own power to be able to affect people. God has given you a supernatural means to do so. And I think Pastor Jeremy's going to preach tonight, and I'm sure afterwards there's going to be an opportunity for people to come and be filled with the Holy Spirit if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. But the primary purpose of me teaching on this today, and I really feel this in my heart, Pastor Lisa said it, but this really bore witness in my heart, is to give you something to think about today. As you're doing your other activities, let you mull this over, let you process it through your mind, that when you come back tonight, you're going to be ready to receive what God has for you, and your lives are never going to be changed as a result of it. Amen? Stand on your feet. We'll unplug. Praise God. Hey, come back tonight full of faith. Come back tonight ready to receive what God has for you. And again, you're blessed to be here.